Great job, Pastor, with our Christmas songs there. And I was told I had to do a Christmas song, too, for my sermon song, so there it is. Amen. But grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, Amazing Grace. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this season, Lord, and that we may celebrate and remember the birth of our Savior. And we thank you, Lord, for every blessing that comes through and with that. And we ask that you bless everyone here today, Lord, and that you open our hearts and minds to receive your word as always, and that it may strengthen us and give us joy in this season. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So my sermon title today is taken from part of the scripture, May Another Take His Place. May another take his place. And, you know, among the apostles, this is written by Eugene Peterson. He said, among the apostles, the one absolutely stunning success was Judas. And the one thoroughly groveling failure was Peter. Judas was a success in the ways that most impress us. He was successful both financially and politically. He cleverly arranged to control the money of the apostolic band. He was in control of the money. He skillfully manipulated the political forces of the day to accomplish his goal. And Peter was a failure in many ways that we most dread. He was impotent in a crisis and socially inept. At the arrest of Jesus, we know he collapsed, a hapless, his words, not mine, blustering coward. In the most critical situations of his life with Jesus, like the confession on the road to Caesarea Philippi and the vision on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said the most embarrassingly inappropriate things. He was not the companion we would want with us in the time of danger. And he was not the kind of person we'd feel comfortable with at a social occasion. Time, of course, has reversed our judgment on these two men. Judas is now a byword for betrayal, right? Judas is a byword for betrayal. And Peter is one of the most honored names in the church and in the world. Judas is a villain. Peter is a saint. Yet the world continues to chase after the success of Judas. They chase after financial wealth, political power, and to defend itself, they also defend itself against the failures of Peter, against impotence and ineptness. That was written by Eugene Peterson. Amen? In today's sermon, we're going to see how Judas, whose body, it says, burst open and his intestines spilled out in the field of blood, will be replaced as it was prophesied in the book of Psalms. Amen? And the Apostle Peter is going to step up and become the leader that he was meant to be after a series of denials as he quotes scripture for the first time as well. So last week in our first verses of this book, we saw where Jesus had ascended into heaven, right? He ascended into heaven, and this would be a very difficult yet very important time for the disciples. Amen? Very important time for them because it would finally show that Jesus' earthly ministry was over. Okay? His earthly ministry was over, and it was going to change those 120 or so, right? Numbered with 120. It was going to change them in that upper room forever. And they knew that Jesus had gone into heaven, and they were waiting, as he told them to do. They were waiting for the promise of the Father. Amen? And so they obeyed Jesus. They went back to Jerusalem to wait for that time of Pentecost, right? To wait for the time of Pentecost, and that's what we'll be talking about in our next chapter, okay, Pentecost. But in the meantime, they would have a critical decision to make, right? They would have to replace Judas, okay? Were they going to wait, or were they going to do it now? That was the question. And some say they should have waited for Paul, who was the real 12th apostle, some say, right? They should have waited for Paul, but they would have to make that decision. They would have to make that decision. And, you know, for all of us who have grown up, we have to make some tough decisions in our lives. Amen? We have to make some tough decisions. Adulting is not easy, right? Pastor Rolf knows. But but when we decide to follow Christ, we've made the best decision of our lives. Amen? And that's talk about adulting, right? We choose to follow Christ. And that includes following God's word. Following God's word. And that's exactly what the disciples were going to do when they started to choose the new apostle. Amen? They're following God's word. And this chapter is all about how God would have us make decisions in his will. Okay? God wants us to make decisions in his will, and which is the case here. And in the first verse, it says that the apostles had returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, and it was a Sabbath day walk from the city. A Sabbath day walk. Jesus told them, return to Jerusalem. So what'd they do? They listened to him. Amen? They returned to Jerusalem, and we're going to find out, since Jesus had left them, the disciples, all of a sudden, were going to become even more obedient, right? And even stronger in their prayer as they returned to Jerusalem. And so they would make this journey of a Sabbath distance, right? They weren't allowed to walk or do too much on the Sabbath, right? But this was a short Sabbath distance to Jerusalem. And in verse 13 it says that when they arrived there, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying, and the original Greek called it the upper room, okay? The upper room. So we have reason to believe that it may be the same upper room where they had the Last Supper. Amen? The upper room. And the rest of the verse says that those present, okay, those that were present in that room that day were Peter, John. Notice how Peter's always first, right? Peter's usually first on the list when they're speaking about the disciples. Amen? Peter, John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and Judas Iscariot, of course, is not mentioned, right? So Peter is mentioned first, and he does have a leadership role in the early church, amen? Very important leadership role. He was the rock, right? He was the true leader of the church. He was the first pope, some say, right? He was the first pope. Some say the only pope. Peter would be filled with the Spirit, and he would fill this leadership role as well, okay? He would fill the leadership role after denying and failing multiple times in his ministry, but Peter's leadership role is going to diminish very, very, very soon, amen? It's going to diminish due to unfortunate circumstances. You see, after Peter was arrested by Herod and he had attempted to kill Peter, Peter would leave Jerusalem. Amen? He would leave Jerusalem, and James, the just, Jesus' brother, would take over as the leader of the church. Okay? So he kind of handed the baton off and said, I got to go, right? So he hands it off, and then James would kind of be the leader until the Apostle Paul comes along. Amen? And then Apostle Paul just blew up on the scene, right? Amen? So, verse 14 says that they had all joined together, all these people, okay, joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. It says that they would all join together constantly in prayer. Some things never change, amen? Some things never change, like God's word and the power of prayer. Some things never change. Because that was now their communication to the Father. Amen? That was now their communication. This new covenant that they were living in would open their communication to the Father. It would open their communication through their prayers, and it still does today. Amen? We are in the new covenant. It still does today. And of course, it does say specifically that Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? So we know that she was there for Pentecost as well. And then it says the women. What women are they talking about, right? What women are they talking about? The same women that were at the crucifixion, right? Like 15 Marys, I think there was. Mary Magdalene, Mary the wife of Clopas, who was Jesus' aunt or Thea. And then probably Mary and Martha, right? They were in the area. Amen. There's a lot of Marys, which is a beautiful name, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Gotta throw that one in there. And there's also a woman named Salome, who was most likely there, since she had been at the tomb after the resurrection. Amen. So then, of course, it mentions his brothers. Okay? Mentions his brothers. Now, this will be the last mention of Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Scripture. Okay? Last time they mention Mary, the mother of Jesus, in Scripture. And we don't know how much longer she would live, but we do know she would become part of the early church. Okay? She would become part of the early church, and after Pentecost, she would go to live with John, right? That's what Jesus told him to take care of. That's his mother, right? This is now your mother. Take care of her. Amen? Some say she would die in Jerusalem. Some say in Ephesus, where she lived with John. We really don't know, but this would be the last mention of her name. Okay? And all that to say that the early church would not venerate or praise Mary. Okay? They didn't praise Mary for being the mother of Jesus like some denominations would do later on. Okay? So we also know that Jesus wouldn't venerate his mother either, right? Remember the one time he was teaching in the house and they came and said, hey, your mother and your brothers are outside waiting to see you. And he'd tell them what? He said, who are my mother and my brothers, right? And who are my sisters, right? Who's my sister? Mic drop, right? You know, and then if you remember on another occasion in chapter 11 of Luke, Jesus was speaking to a woman, right, in the crowd, and the woman would call out and say, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you, right? He's speaking to the crowd, and the woman comes up and says, blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you, right? Sounds familiar, right? And Jesus would reply by saying, no, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Amen. Blessed are, just boom, right? Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. That's what it was about. Jesus had gone from the son of Mary to the Savior of Mary. Amen? To the Savior of us all. And Mary was special, but she would have to be saved as well. Amen? Just like all of us. She may have given birth to the Savior, but she needed salvation just as much as any of us. Amen? So later on, a tradition of false doctrine would appear in the church. As the last words of verse 14 says, with his brothers, right? It says, with his brothers. In Mark chapter 6, it says that his brothers were James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And these would be, of course, Jesus' half-brothers, right? His half-brothers. After Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph would go on to have other children, okay? They'd go on to have other children, four sons, and we don't know how many daughters, but sons and daughters, and this is what the Bible says. And then in the 14th century, a false doctrine called the perpetual virginity of Mary would develop, right? And that doctrine would say that Jesus was born, conceived in the womb of a virgin, and then she would stay a virgin for the rest of her life. Some would even say that he wasn't even delivered like a normal baby was, right? But here in God's word, we read and know that Mary had other children as well. She was not a perpetual virgin. Amen? And if your doctrine goes against God's word in the Holy Bible, it's a false doctrine. That's it. You test it to God's word. Amen? I don't care who you are or how you say you receive that information, God's word never changes. And in verse 15, it says that in those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, brothers and sisters, the scripture had to be fulfilled in which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through David concerning Judas, who served as a guide for those that arrested Jesus. Now notice the wisdom of Peter in this text, okay? He has no formal education, all right? no schooling. He was a fisherman, probably looked a little bit like Rolf with that hat on today. And he's a common laborer, right? But the things that Peter believed and how he would use the scripture to make his decision by using the two Psalms from Psalm 69 and 109 and put them together to show this to be fulfilled by Judas Iscariot, right? So Peter had all this wisdom, right? Where did he get it from? Amen? Where did he get this? He didn't get it from fishing. Amen? Maybe he got it from fishing for men, right? But, so how is this common man able to do that in his first time quoting scripture to the disciples? This is the first time Peter would quote scripture, and he knows exactly where to look. He knows exactly, you know. So number one, in Luke 24:45, it says that that Jesus had opened their minds. Remember, we talked about that, right? He had opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. That's one, right? So he had opened his mind so he could understand the scriptures. Same for us, right? Number two, Jesus had been teaching them and giving them these amazing Bible studies, right, for the last 40 days. Amen? Jesus had downloaded a bunch of information into his disciples. Amen? And number three, they had their own knowledge, right? They had been studying scripture for years, right? They knew the Old Testament. Amen? They had been following Jesus. You think they weren't reading their Bibles every day and they're following Jesus around, right? Amen? So Peter was just a simple man, but when the Lord instills wisdom into us by the means of the Holy Spirit, anything's possible in our lives. Anything is possible. Any of us can do anything through Christ. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So Peter would say, this has to be fulfilled because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's why they were going to choose a successor right now. Amen? Because it was chosen by the Holy Spirit. It was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Everything in the Bible will be fulfilled because it is all inspired by the Holy Spirit. David wrote the Psalms Peter was quoting, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in verse 17 it says, he was one of our number and shared in our ministry, right? He was part of God's plan. Judas was part of God's plan. Amen? His divine appointment was to be the betrayer of Jesus Christ. Yet he was never saved. Jesus uses everything for his good. Amen? Verse 18 says, with the payment he received for his wickedness, Judas bought a field where he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines fell out. Doesn't leave much to the imagination, right? Peter was a tough guy, and he'd tell it like it is. Amen? He's telling it like it is. But do we have a discrepancy here, right? Some of the gospel accounts say that he hung himself, right? Say that he hung himself, and now Peter's saying that his intestines spilled out all over the ground. So what was it, right? How did he die? What happened? I believe he hung himself in this private field, okay? This private field that was, according to Scripture, deserted, right? Where nobody, it was deserted, okay? And then eventually the rope broke and he fell down and he hit this rock and he burst open. Amen? Okay, it sounds good, right? Sounds good? Some people way back in the ancient church that really had a extreme hatred for Judas would say that he had bloated so much from his hatred and his evilness a horse-drawn wagon could go through a space easier than he could because he was so bloated from all this evil that was in him, right? And then, of course, he exploded. Amen? I kind of feel like that sometimes too, but... So the rope broke, he fell to the ground, his burst open, his intestines were all over the ground. Maybe a little too much information, right? But it's God's word, okay? It's God's word nonetheless. Verse 19, everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called the field in their language Ekeldama, that is, field of blood. They called it the field of blood, right? What had Judas done? He got his 30 pieces of silver, right? He was all happy. He got his 30 pieces of silver. Before he could spend a dime, he went right back to those leaders, right? He went right back and he said, and he tried to give them the money back, right? He threw it on the ground. Said, I don't want it, right? The blood money and his guilt had overwhelmed him. It overwhelmed him, and he tried to return his mistake because it was literally burning, and they say, in his hands. It was literally burning in his hands. He's like, I got to give it back, you know. And they would take the money, and they would acquire a field with this blood money, okay? They would acquire the field. Judas didn't buy it. They would acquire the field with this blood money because it was against the law for them to receive that money back. Okay, so they went and bought this field. So Judas didn't actually buy the field, but he would definitely buy the farm and the field. Okay, all right. He's going to buy the farm and the field. My wife goes, "What's buy the farm?" Sorry, babe. It was a tragic end for this chosen apostle. Okay, it was a tragic end. I got a good picture. I think it's a good picture, but it was a tragic end. Verse 20 says, For said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, may his place be deserted. There it is. Let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. This was the two prophecies from the Psalms. The first one from Psalm 69:25, it said Judas's place would be deserted with no one to dwell in it. And the second one was Psalms 109:8, where it said someone else would take his place. But was it going to be Barsabbas, right? Was it going to be Matthias, or was it going to be Paul? Who was going to take his place, right? This would just show how much Peter and some of his disciples really knew about their Old Testament scripture. They knew it, they understood it, and they could connect it, right? Jesus had really opened their minds to receive this message of wisdom, and now the selection of another was going to take place, okay? Verse 21 says, therefore it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus was living among us. Beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us, for one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So it had to be an eyewitness, right? Had to be an eyewitness, someone who had accompanied them the whole time of Jesus' ministry. This tells us that Jesus traveled with many more people than just the 12 that we see on The Chosen all the time, right? He traveled with many disciples, okay? And it says that he had to be someone who was there at the time that John the Baptist baptized Jesus too, right? Okay? So we got that too. And then all the way up until the time of the ascension. So one who was even a witness to his resurrection. And even with all those qualifications, okay, the person still had to be chosen by God. Even with all the qualifications, they still needed him to be chosen by God. So verse 23 says, they nominated two men, okay? Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justice. We'll just call him Barsabbas, all right? And Matthias, those were the two guys that they had chosen to pick from. These two men had all the qualifications, but we never saw them, right? We never seen these names in the Gospels. Amen? They had all the qualifications. They were of the number, right? They were numbered with the 120. Amen? And verse 24 says, then they prayed. They said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Remember, that's what the Lord sees, our hearts, right? It said, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs. They said, Lord, show us. But how did they expect the Lord to show them, right? How is the Lord going to show them? He had ascended, and the Father's gift had not yet come. How was he going to show them who to pick? So their ancient Jewish way of receiving the Lord's blessing was to draw lots. To draw lots. Anybody know what that is? Drawing lots? Rolling dice, right? So they had these two dice with one name on each one, right? And they would put it in this cup and they would shake it and shake it and shake it until one dice flew out the top. And whatever that dice said, that was the Lord's choice. Amen? That was the Lord's choice. And so verse 26 says, they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias. So he was added to the 11 apostles. Right? Some say, really? They're going to use a die? They're going to roll dice for that? Right? Hey, but it's still, to them, in their mind, it's the Lord's choice, which is better than our choice. Amen? Amen? So that's the point, okay? They're relying on God's will, right? God's will, not their will. God's will. And Barsabbas complained. He said that the dice must have been loaded, he said. Just kidding. But he and everyone else accepted that choice. Amen? That was the divine choice. To them, that was God's will. Okay? That was God's will. So, you know, if we go to the Old Testament, we see different ways in which God would demonstrate his will. And choice, his will and his choice. And it was in strange fashions, right? Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Right? It's of the Lord. It was different ways that they did it, but and this was one of the ways that the Lord would reveal his will. But there would be no more lots or anything of that sort after the day of Pentecost. Amen? Wouldn't have to be rolling dice anymore, okay? Wouldn't have to roll the dice. Wouldn't have to go to the casino. Wouldn't have to do any of that stuff. Amen? And Matthias, whose name means the gift of the Lord, okay? Matthias is in his new place of apostleship. But what do we know about him? What do we really know about Matthias? Amen? There's a record that he preached in Judea, okay? He preached in Judea, we know that. And he preached in Colchis, which was in modern-day Georgia, okay? Near the Black Sea, not Atlanta, okay? Near the Black Sea. And the story goes that he preached with such conviction, okay? He preached with such conviction and truth in Colchis that he was stoned to death. He was stoned to death for his preaching. You know, I hope that doesn't happen to me someday, but he was stoned to death, and sounds like a great Sunday, right? But he was an apostle, okay? He was an apostle, and it didn't really end well for any of the apostles. Amen? It didn't end well for any of them. So, at least in the flesh, right? Amen? And there's a marker today in Georgia. There it is. This marker here, they say, is the burial place of Matthias. Amen? And so now they're ready for the gift of the Holy Spirit to come. They're in the upper room, and we're going to study that next week, right? But we can't help but say, what difference between these two men, right? Between Judas and Matthias, right? I mean, Peter. What a difference between these two men, right? And the one that would betray and the one that would take his place, Matthias, Judas in hell where he belongs, right? Judas is in hell where he belongs, and Matthias is in heaven where he belongs. Amen? He's in heaven where he belongs, and so is Peter. The position is filled, and they are ready to receive that gift, right? The position had been filled. But all this to say that it was all done in God's will. Amen? It was all done in God's will. And that's how we live our lives. In God's will, in prayer. Amen? Amen. The strength of God's will and the strength of prayer. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this reminder to live in your will, Lord. To live in your will as the apostles live in your will, as the disciples live in your will, as all believers should be living in your will, Father, that we may receive that power, that peace, that we may receive the Holy Spirit into our lives to strengthen us so that you may use us to do mighty things in your name, Father God. Use us, Lord, to reach others. Use us to be influencers for others. Use us to guide the younger generation coming up, Lord, to spread the gospel and to begin and to continue to grow your church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.